So we're looking at Jonah chapter 2 today. And when I was looking at this, I was thinking, Lord, what do we get out of this? What is it you want to say out of it? And then I realised there was so much he wanted to say out of it. And I think Abigail voiced it very well, actually. But I thought, to start, let's get a little bit of background, because you could think, this is a very extraordinary story. It can't possibly be true. You know, how on earth can this happen? But did you know Jonah was a prophet? He was the son of Amittai, and we hear about him in 2 Kings chapter 14. He prophesied in the time of Jeroboam, who was the first king in Israel, who was actually a naughty king, unfortunately. So he was a real prophet. And Jesus actually spoke about this same event in Matthew. So we know this happened. Wow, Lord. And you know, I often think Jonah gets a bit of a hard press because we think, oh, he wouldn't go and do what God wanted him to do. But if we look at what he was asked to do, he was asked to go to a place called Nineveh. Well, in that day, Nineveh was in probably modern-day Iraq on the east bank of the Tigris River. And it was inhabited by the Assyrians. Now, if you know anything about the Assyrians in that day, they were a wicked bunch. They were not very nice at all. And because there's children pleasant, I won't go into some of the things they did. But let's just say it wasn't a nice place. So I can understand a little bit why Jonah didn't want to go there. He was probably thinking, no, Lord, I don't want to go there with those fellas there. So where was Tarshish then? Tarshish was probably the southern part of Spain, a port in Spain. So he got on a boat and he went across the Mediterranean Sea and he was thrown out in the middle. Well, I looked this up and at the deepest point, it's 3.27 miles deep in the Mediterranean. So we have our first miracle, really, because it tells us in chapter 2, he went down, down, down to where the mountains were at the deepest, where they started right at the bottom of that sea. He went down. So we know, I don't think anyone's ever lived going 3.5 miles deep in an ocean without probably popping their clogs. So that was our first miracle. And he actually says in verse 7, my soul nearly fainted. In other words, my inside just nearly went. But the Lord prepared a large fish and he delivered him from death. He'd already been in the fish 3 days and 3 nights before we join him and what we're going to speak about this morning in his prayer. So our first part of this story, we had a cry of desperation. There you are, Ruth, do you want to hold that one for me? He had a cry of desperation. Well, I think if we were Jonah and we're in a smelly old fish, no light, thinking, I'm going to dissolve in the acids of the fish's tummy. I'm not going to get out of here. What on earth am I doing it? I think we'd be crying, wouldn't we? But would you know, there were 2 cries he made. First of all, it says, I cried to the Lord because he saw, because of my affliction. That cry in Hebrew is karate, not the proper chop-chop karate. And I'm probably saying it wrong. Q-A-R-A-T-I. And basically, that word means crying to the named God. So it wasn't an exuberant. It was saying, Lord, help me. I'm in a bit of a sticky situation here. Will you help me? And then he got a bit more desperate because it says, out of the belly of Sheol, I cried. Now, that word in Hebrew is sawati. And that is a hollering, a bawling my eyes out. Lord, help me. I'm desperate. I'm desperate, please, help me out of this situation. Well, do you know, I thought about this, and I thought, I don't know whether there's anyone here this morning who's in that situation. Maybe we're in a desperate situation. Maybe we need to holler out to the Lord this morning. Maybe we've got health problems, financial problems, or just feeling so in the dark and as if God has gone far away from us. Well, we need to learn from Jonah. He cried. He cried first on the name of the Lord, and second, he hollered and bawled his eyes out because he knew God was a God of mercy and compassion. And I think so often we think God is there with a big stick when we get things wrong to knock us down, to knock us back. But he's not. He's a God of compassion. He's a God of mercy. And he longs for us to cry out to him, even when we've got things wrong. So then the next thing we see, Megan, do you want to hold this for us? And it's probably not something we like to hear, but it was the discipline of the Lord. He actually says in verse 3, you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas. You cast me, Lord. The Lord disciplined him. And you might think, well, that's a bit harsh, Lord, you know. Why would you do such a thing? Or maybe we've had the Lord discipline us at times in our lives. Well, it's not because, like we've just said, he's there with a big stick. It's there because he wants to do it for our own good. When we were little, and maybe we went to put our hand in the fire. I know I did. We had a proper coal fire. And I was always very inquisitive, it seemed. And you'd go and the hearth would be there. And you'd go to put your hand and your dad would go, no, that's naughty. Did he do that to really hurt me or to teach me and say, Susan, if you do that, there's going to be a consequence? Well, the Lord sometimes has to discipline us. And he had to do this with Jonah. He had to say, Jonah, you've got it wrong. Now, are you going to cry to me? Are you going to come to the point where you realize I long to deliver you? I long to save you? But you need to know I'm a God who disciplines. In Hebrews, we read, in Hebrews 12, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline and do not lose heart when he rebukes you. Because the Lord disciplines, now listen to this, the one he loves. And he chastens everyone he accepts as a son. If we want to be children of God, we've got to expect that discipline. If we want him to love us, we've got to expect that discipline in our lives as Christians. But why? We carry on in Hebrews chapter 11, and he says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Oh, does it feel painful when you're being disciplined? Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace to those who have been trained by it. We need to be trained through the Lord's discipline to do what he wants us to do. And then we receive his peace. Then we know that God loves us. You know, I can't remember where I spoke about this. One of my pet hates is seeing a parent going along the road on their phone when the child's trying to get their attention. Please, mummy, Oh, blah, 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 blah. You know, God is a God who wants to discipline it because he wants to hear you. He wants to pay attention to you. If he was a God that went along on the phone and ignored you, it's not much of a God. It's not much of a love. Yeah? So he trains us through the discipline. And then the third thing that Jonah knew, yeah, Tim, was Jonah's faith in God's mercy. I looked up we did this on Wednesday. I looked up the definition of mercy. And mercy is the compassion shown by someone who can do you harm. So in other words, if you went before a judge, you'd been thieving in the other village, and you come before this judge, and the judge had the ability to send you to jail, do community service, or a tap on the wrist and a fine. That is mercy if he then decides to say, no, the price is paid. Who does that remind us of? Jesus. Because Jesus, God showed us mercy through Jesus. We were all sinners. But when we come to him by faith, knowing that he died on the cross for us, we receive mercy from God and forgiveness. So Jonah knew that God was a God of mercy. In verse 7, he said, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. He was going through, he was thrown into the ocean thinking, like we heard. This is it now. I've really blown it. God's going to wipe me out. And then he thought, no, I remember the God I serve, and he's a God of mercy. So if you're in that situation where you're a bit desperate about something this morning, remember God is a God of mercy, and he wants to help you out of that situation. Whatever it is that you find yourself in, he wants to help you out. You know, I probably shared this before, when I was midwife in Blackpool, and God called me to go and be a missionary. And I did a bit of a Jonah and wanted to run the other way because I was all mouth. Yes, I'll go for the Lord, wherever you send me, Lord, whatever you want me to do. And then my friend, we went to Spring Harvest one year, my friend said to me, Susan, I've just seen an advert saying they're looking for people in the Lebanon. Now, the Lebanon at that time was quite chaotic and it wasn't a good place to go. And I heard her say that, and you see, I'd been mouthing off that I thought God wanted me to go to the Lebanon. And when she told me, I thought, oh, I'm just going to go to this other meeting, the other side of the camp. I'm not going to look at that advert. And you know when that little voice inside is saying, Susan, Susan, Susan. Well, I got to the other side and I thought, oh, I've got to go and have a look. Applied for it, got it. But then God was merciful. He took me to Israel. He took me to Bethlehem instead, which was a little bit safer. Not totally safe, but a lot safer than Lebanon. God is a merciful God. And when we try and run away from him, he will do his utmost to bring you back to him because he is merciful. And then last and not least, Colin, you should never sit on the front row, should you, in an all-age prayers, is the Lord's deliverance. So we've had the cry of desperation. What was the next one? We've had the discipline of the Lord, and we've had Jonah's faith in God's mercy. And what happens? His deliverance. God sends his salvation. But when did it come? Verse 9, Jonah remembered the Lord's mercy. And in verse 9, he went from, oh, woe is me. Whoa, I've gone to the bottom of the ocean. I might die. Oh, Lord. He went from that to, I remembered the Lord's mercy and began to offer a sacrifice of praise. I praise you, Lord, because you, Lord, are Almighty God. You are merciful, you're full of compassion, and you can deliver me whatever you decide because I'm going to offer you praise. And it's a sacrifice of praise. We sometimes, in amongst the trials, have to gather everything within us to say, Lord, like Job, though you slay me, yet will I love you. Yet will I praise you. Yet will I worship you. Everything's going wrong, but praise the Lord. Have you ever had one of them? You know, you have one thing go, and it never goes in ones, does it? It's one thing after another, after another, after another. You know, you all know my husband so poorly recently, and we really did think that was it. And it was like one thing after another, after another. And then one morning we got up and we said, do you know what, Lord? Praise your name. Hallelujah. Praise your name. And God delivered him. God delivers when we learn that sacrifice of praise, when it's hard. It's easy to praise God when things are easy, isn't it? But we've got to learn that sacrifice of praise when things are really hard, when they look tough. We've got to gather everything within us to say, no, I'm going to praise God. I'm going to worship him because he's worthy of my praise. And he is my deliverer. And then, of course, as soon as he got the lesson, what did God do? He spoke to the fish and the fish vomited him. Not in the middle of, you see, this is what I think God's grace. He could have put him 2 miles out so he had to swim to shore, couldn't he? You know, he could have dropped him in so he had to paddle to the shore. But no, he said to the fish, go onto the dry land and vomit him onto dry land. That's our God. Do you know, I think that's wonderful. That always excites me when I see that. Because I think, wow, Lord, that is your mercy. Truly. He didn't even have to get his feet wet. Wow. Thank you, Lord, that you deliver us onto dry ground. When God delivers, he does a good job of it. But what do we have to learn first? We cry out to God, Lord, please help us. We have to know that he's faithful in mercy and compassion to hear our prayer and to do something about it. Then we have to learn the discipline of God, that sometimes God has to do these things for a reason. And it's to train us according to Hebrews. So we'll bring forth righteousness, we'll bring forth peace. And then we have to believe in his mercy and know that God will deliver us. There is an afterwards. You know, when Neil, he was in so much pain, and the pain, you see, I believe we had a miracle. The pain went like that. He'd had it for nearly 3 weeks. And it literally went instantaneously. You know, and he just said, Lord, you've delivered me. You've delivered me. Wow. And the relief, he said, of just not having pain again was just amazing. This isn't my saying, but I love this. We heard this once in Keswick by someone who was preaching, and I love this. And he says, and he was thinking, he was talking about Jonah, and how if we saw on there, Jonah went and paid for his ticket, he got on the boat, and he never got to his destination. He said, when we go our way, we pay the fare, and we don't get to where we're going. When we go God's way, he pays the fare, he brings you a fish, and we always reach where we're going. Amen. Amen. Thank you this morning. So I just want to encourage you this morning, if anyone's in that desperate situation, call out to God and just know he will hear you and he longs to deliver you from that situation because he is faithful. When Jesus went to the cross, he said, Tetelestai. What? I didn't hear him say that. That basically was the word in Greek that says, it is finished. So when he went to the cross, everything was completed. So whatever need you have this morning, it's not too big for God. And I think we've got prayer ministry this morning, if you want to go and ask for prayer or just talk to anyone to pray with you. But cry out to God this morning if you are in that desperate situation. And even if you're not, it's good to. And believe that God will hear you. And when you start praising, even in the worst situations, God will come to your rescue. Don't know whether he'll send you a big fish. Be good if he did, wouldn't it? Wouldn't mind being in the fish's stomach, but there we go. So praise God. Thank you, folks. Let's pray.